Welcome back to the Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Always great to be here with you, Brittany, on this lovely fall afternoon. Thank you to the United Steelworkers and UFCW for supporting the show. We really appreciate it.
And guys, don't forget, we've got a Patreon, and it's got some cool exclusive content out there and some bonus interviews, so always tune into it and check it out and go see what we've got going on.
And joining us right now from Work in Progress Radio, we have Buck Gino. Hey, Buck, how are you today?
How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Happy it's Friday.
It's Friday. It's a beautiful day.
Is it really nice out there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, it's not too bad. It's been real rainy, and then I looked at the weather this morning, and it was just rain every day for the next week. So I'm like, all right, rain's back. But at least it's not, like, borderline snowing anymore. It's at least, like, a balmy 65.
Yeah, it snowed the other day here. Tuesday and Wednesday it was snowing.
Oh, man.
Hard. Oh, boy.
Of course, it didn't stick, but just a warning shot.
Warning shot, yeah, really. That's for sure.
Winter is coming.
Oh. Well, I was listening and enjoying the show. And your last guest was talking about the effects of basically the new tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was listening to his explanation, and I think you ladies asked the question about the portion of the tax bill that takes away the deduction for state and local taxes, and then they kind of threw everybody a little carrot stick by saying, okay, we're going to let you deduct up to $10,000 in property tax. Well, us working folk, we don't even come close to paying that much in property tax compared to what we pay in state and local taxes.
When I thought about that, I also thought of the fact that a lot of us millennials can afford to buy a house, so we rent.
Right,
so.
That and also just the working poor.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We don't
buy things, we rent them.
Right.
Right. And so that itself in itself will do a lot of damage to you. And the other thing that they don't talk about much, and by no means am I an expert. I'm just one of those retirees that sits in front of the computer screen for a portion of the day, is that of all the tax cuts, $1.5 trillion goes to the richest people in the country. So that leaves $300 billion for us, the working people. And that is not very much. And so, as he said, is that, you know, this is going to be up for scrutiny for some time. And the reason why it's moving so fast is because they don't want us to know the facts.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was glad that you asked the question about where people could research it. I hope that they do.
Yeah, I definitely, if I can find a free moment of time, I really would like to look a little bit further into this just to see how it affects people, because of there's just so much that's going on in the media, and it's really very wonky and kind of heavy to read through and understand, because of course it's tax jargon and they've made it confusing so that you don't understand it all exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a little dense to get through and wrap your head around, but that being said, it's really important stuff. And I mean, if you also want to think about the fact that people go to school for years to become accountants, so they can understand this, and by no means am I an accountant, nor did I go to school to be an accountant, so it's a little difficult to decipher for the average Joe, let me tell you. But,
you know, and
yeah.
The other part they do, and believe me, I know to working people that $1,000 is a lot of money. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
But if you look at that over a course of the year, and you look at the amount of money that they're giving the richest 1%, it's a squat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's so important that, like we said, is that you keep publicizing, getting people to educate themselves about it, because this has got a ways to go yet. And like I said, the bigger part is when it gets into the Senate, and hopefully that we can change some of those things around.
I think that some of why this is moving so fast is because of the healthcare thing was something that was going to immediately impact people.
Uh-huh.
It had a lot of press, it had a lot of media, and it had a lot of bombshell changes that were going to completely upheave the way that people function, essentially, and get their healthcare. And a lot of people took that very personally, and it hit a lot of people beyond the pocketbook. And I think that that's why that had such a strong response, because we did such a process of educating people. Unfortunately, we have not had that same type of education breakthrough with the tax bill, and we don't have the time. A lot of time and effort was reported and put and sunk into talking about the healthcare bill and what changes and what doesn't and what they're keeping, what they're scrapping, and how much more you're going to have to pay. And unfortunately, the taxes are a little bit more wonky than that. And I think that because of people just go, oh, it's just taxes, I'm just giving the government my money.
Right.
They don't necessarily understand or have taken that time to fully dig into, like, oh, it's a tax bill. It's a bunch of stuff that I don't necessarily get, or I don't care, whatever. No, you should care. There's a lot of stuff in here that's going to change, and it's not, if you're in the working middle class, you're not going to see these bright, shiny unicorns that they're touting on the news and that they're talking about, that the Republicans are like, oh, this is going to be great for everybody. No, it's not.
No.
So take 5 minutes and just try to understand, or at least if there's things you don't get, go find somebody to ask questions. That's when you call your congressman or your senator and start questioning them about the particulars of the tax bills that they're going to present, and why is this written this way, and what does this mean for my bottom line and for me? Because if you put them on the spot for it and hold their feet to the fire, then they might stop for a second. Because that's how we got this breakthrough on preventing them from passing this atrocious health care bill in the first place, was we read into it and we put them on the spot.
You're right, because healthcare is something that everybody deals with day in and day out. And taxes is something that people only think about a couple weeks a year. And so, like I said, it's behooves us to make sure that we educate people on exactly what's going on here. And the other thing that, you know, I know, and I'm going to go on the website, but I do believe there's some finagling going on with the deduction for medical expenses, too.
Oh,
so
really?
Here we are. Here we have the Republicans who want to take our way of health care, and then if we have to spend our own money to get unsick, we can't deduct that.
Jesus.
So, I mean, these are all these little dirty little secrets in this 482-page thing that and that's just another reason why it's moving so fast.
Yeah, I mean, they want to push this through because of the less time that people have to set their eyes on it, and the less time that economists and, you know, different groups that decide to be activists for, you know, one reason or another have their time to kind of sift through what does this political jargon mean and how will this affect me or what I stand for or my people or what have you. That's the less time we have to do that, the faster that they can push this through to get what they want. Because if this, if they're pushing it this fast, that right there should be the red flag that this is no good for anybody else.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's something that we have to pay attention to. And, you know, you could just see that they're another reason why that they're salivating over this is because you have a...
They see dollar signs. That's why they're salivating over it.
Right. Yeah, and then the other thing we haven't even talked about is the estate tax.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
That's a huge amount of money for people. And that's just an... And, you know, Mr. Trump alone, if that goes away, saves $500 million.
Yeah, that would be right there a reason for all of them. Because, I mean, they've looked at the numbers of what the people who make... who live in Congress make, essentially, and they say the best way to make $1 million is to go become elected to office.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, all of them would have a personal conflict of interest, if you would say, for passing such a thing of repealing the estate tax or changing the estate tax, because of that would just right there benefit their bottom lines personally.
Well, like I said, it's something we have to pay attention to, and like I said, it's to me, it's just as important as health care. Because it deals with pocketbook issues. And
it should be.
Yeah. So, like I said, I wanted to go off script there a little bit, but I wanted to make sure that that people understand the fact that when they start saying that they're giving you this good deal about property taxes, I would ask you to take a look at your property tax bill and then look at your state and local taxes, and you can make your own choice then.
Yeah.
And like you girls brought up a valid point. Most millennials aren't buying houses.
Yeah. I mean, I live at home with my parents. I'll be honest about that.
Sure.
So that right there doesn't help me at all.
Right.
Right. And it's in some ways, it's more giveaways to wealthy people, because if you think about it, landlords who have lots of property can write off all of their property. And the poor people who are renting from them don't get that. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then he charges you more rent.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. We know that story.
But we got to take a short break. When we come back, we can chat a little about unions. I think that was the next thing on your list.
Yes. I want to talk to you about a company called Cisco in Grand Rapids.
Interesting. Excellent. Okay. Well, guys, we'll be right back. That's Buck Gino from Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
A new state law went into effect this year to help Texans care for loved ones who are ill or have a disability, but advocates say more should be done to help family caregivers. Statistics show if the family members who assist ill or aging relatives were replaced by paid caregivers, it would cost the state more than $35 billion a year. But according to Amanda Fredrickson with AARP Texas, that doesn't begin to account for the personal toll caregiving can place on spouses, children, or other family members who often provide continuous care for relatives who can't care for themselves.
In Texas, we have 3.4 million family caregivers. These are unpaid family members who are caring for their loved ones the way any of us would. And I think people don't realize how many people are having the same experience.
Texas has joined about two-thirds of the other U.S. states in adopting the CARE Act, a measure to support family caregivers when a patient is released from the hospital. Fredrickson says that's a good start, but it doesn't address other concerns faced by caregivers, such as health, safety, financial, legal, and life balance issues. She explains the CARE Act requires hospitals to ask patients if they want to designate a caregiver.
If the patient says yes, then they're expected to note that name and notify that family caregiver that their loved one is going to be discharged, then give them an opportunity to walk through the aftercare instructions and ask any questions.
Fredrickson notes there is much more to providing full-time care. Sharon Goldblatt from Round Rock is the sole caretaker for her husband, whose around-the-clock care needs sometimes mean a great deal of personal stress.
It's a constant state of anxiety because I never know if he's going to have a seizure or how his narcolepsy is going to be revealed on any particular day. So he really needs constant care, and that means that my life is all about his health.
AARP provides an online guide to assist caregivers, including a forum where they can contact other caregivers for information and support. For Texas News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative. And that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Thanks for joining us today, and thank you to IBEW Local 5 and the United Mine Workers for supporting the show.
And back joining us right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, ladies, indeed.
Always great to have you, Buck. So what's going on with Cisco?
I don't know if Brother Hoogerheide has ever talked about him, but...
Yeah, he has in the past. is there any, like, updates?
Well, Cisco, basically, you understand, is like, do you have Gordon Foods out in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay, it's kind of the same setup. And They had an election there in 2015, and then it failed by 10 votes.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is that I'm reading from Sharanda Martinez's article in the Grand Rapids Press, and they have a total of 79. I've never heard it ever that much before, ever. 79 labor violations.
Whoa.
I'll give you an example. There was a guy by the name, and I'm kind of quoting her now. George Brewster was making a delivery to a northeast side bar when he noticed his supervisor parked nearby watching him.
That's creepy.
What Brewster
mm-hmm.
didn't know was that his Cisco supervisor was apparently setting him up to lose his temper by hiding Brewster's truck keys under the seat while he was inside the restaurant. This provoked a profanity-laced outburst by Brewster, which led to his 2015 firing, according to the court documents. And the crux of this setup was basically the same as they all are. He was identified as a union organizer. So now this thing has not only left because the NLRB thinks it's so serious, now it's in the Grand Rapids federal court.
Oh, man.
And so there'll be more to come from that. And I do have to say hats off to Brother Hoogerhide and the Teamsters for all their efforts. This is the kind of thing that we put up with every day. And, for example, when this election was held, it was quite of a in 2015, there was 99 people that signed authorization cards. But when it came time for the vote, less than half voted for the union, 71, and it lost by 10 votes.
Ooh,
so,
man, that had to have been quite the anti-union campaign.
Well, that's what and when you use tactics such as the ones we just talked about, it's no wonder why.
Yeah, that's messed up. That's, like, seriously messed up.
And so what Cisco is, because now the NLRB basically gave Cisco an order to basically get it together. Now they've decided that they're going to wait, and then that's when it turned over to the federal court, which will be a whole different ballgame for them, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So when is that being taken up in court? Is that, like, right now, or is that in, like, a couple
it's
weeks?
It's headed that way now. They don't really give a date of when they're going to have the first hearing.
Okay.
But, like I said, there's the legal filings that go on. And, of course, there'll be about 150-page documents put up by the company. And
oh, yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But, you know, I mean, just to go to the kind of tactics that people have to put up with. Hiding somebody's keys, someone who's trying to do their job and basically are being on a GPS because they're being clocked for time, and then when this person can't find his keys and swears a little bit, he loses his job. So
yeah, that's ridiculous to be set up for that by your employer so that they can turn it around and find a way to fire you.
Well, like I said, you know, it's ongoing, but you know they don't blow their horn very well. But in the state of Michigan, obviously, you know they've had some success. Basically, Albion College just basically the custodians there basically voted unanimously to join the union, and you know there was they joined 70 clerical staff and they joined the Teamsters, and things are moving in the right direction. So they must have something going, and so. Like I said, the whole point of this is if something like that happens to any person out there, they need to make a call to the labor board or any one of any union organizers to help them out.
Well, I mean, it's of course great that they reach out to the Teamsters because the Teamsters are awesome. But
yeah.
That being said, this is just, it's unfortunate that this is happening not just only at Cisco, but it's happening at workplaces all around the country. And
yes.
Thankfully, the labor board has stepped in here at Cisco and is trying to help these workers and give them, the justification that they deserve for, in this case, in this particular case, being wrongly fired and basically set up on the job.
Exactly.
This type of stuff is unfortunately happening in a lot of places. And it's really important that we get strong labor boards and more people working for the labor board to try and stop these things from happening and just get better protections for workers because of
exactly.
workers, unfortunately,
exactly.
do not have very strong protections. And it's very, very sad.
Well, and as we've heard many times, it's You know, the labor board basically is a shadow of whatever administration is in the mm-hmm. in the White House, and that's going to make it even more difficult.
Yeah.
But if you make sure that your ducks in a row, thank goodness that we have you know, the fair-minded people that are doing the job of board agents. What I mean by that, investigating what's going on, and that is you know, it would be a really tough road to hoe if we had those kind of people working against us, which mm-hmm. we don't.
Well, as always, this is the time to get together and unite.
Exactly.
I mean, the grassroots, something can seriously be said for that. I mean, there are small pockets of people popping up that are starting to make small changes that are snowballing into large changes in workplaces and showing the strength that when a couple of people get together and you stand your ground over what are your actual rights, not what is presumed to be right or wrong, but what you actually deserve and what is actually right and moral, things can change and things can get done.
And I bring this back because I talked about it last week a little bit, is the fact that, you know, in a recent Gallup poll, 61% of those people polled approved of unions. That's the highest level since 2003.
That's awesome.
And so more people also want to have the unions to have greater influence. So what you're seeing is people reach out to basically make their lives better. And they're understanding that all these horror stories that they've heard about organized labor and unions are not true. And so hats off to the Teamsters and all the other unions, because organizing is the lifeblood of any union organizer anyway.
Well, I think that is definitely well said, very true. And there's a lot to be said with the power of millennials, and we're kind of in this position where we're a little bent out of shape about the way that our cards have been dealt at this point, to say the least. But
yeah.
That being said, I think we kind of see this new hope in the concept of organized labor and someone standing up for our rights, because we feel like nobody has really stood up for us moving forward so far. And I think that right there is what is driving the slow ballooning of grassroots. And I think that this is going to carry on as we progress in age, because of I think we're going to be the ones that bring it back.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, it's imperative that we do. And
mm-hmm.
And the things that you do and the Union Edge does is a part of that grassroots effort. And we thank you for it.
Well, thank you, Buck.
We thank you for all of your help and our efforts. We
yeah.
always appreciate having you on and having your advice offline and
sage wisdom.
Having you around. It's great.
Anyway, and then I talked to Angela, but Angela, you know, I'm going to be all right at 2:30. I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
Great. And you have...
David LeGrand, for sure. I had the hog tie him this time, but I... But they've done some funny things with something that costs people X amount of dollars. It's called auto insurance in this state, and we'll give you an update. There was a late-night vote. We'll talk about that.
Interesting.
That's fascinating. All right, Buck. We will catch you back at 2:30. That was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.